Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today we have a fun couples conversation with Natalie and Nick Vile of the Vile Files, talking all about her pregnancy with twins, their daughter River, how they love being parents, and how they balance each other out in their relationship, and also what causes anxiety and what brings calm. So you're pregnant with twins right now, and you have a daughter. So you're going to have three girls under what age?
Three.
Yeah.
I mean,
three under three.
I was just talking about, I have two girls that are a year and a half apart, and we're at the age right now of almost four and then five and a half, and the drama that is beginning already to unfold, I'm like, add a third one in there, and it's just going to be chaotic.
So the dramas between them, are they, do they butt heads?
So they're the same age difference as my sister, Christina, and I. And so all of this stuff is familiar. And also I understand that it's now karma just like coming back into my lap. But my oldest will just provoke her little sister. And then the little sister will, like, they just constantly are at this age now where they're just, I'm not going to touch you or put your hand in your face. And it's just, it's a lot. Sisters are the best. They're just, there's nothing like having a sister. So it's the really sweet relationship to watch just evolve and change. And then also to know that they're going to have a built-in best friend for life is so special. And also there's going to be, I mean, your guys' high school years are going to be incredible.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be nuts. Yeah, I have four sisters, so.
You have four sisters?
Yeah, so I definitely am.
Okay, so this is not going to be unfamiliar for you at all.
Well, caring for three children will be unfamiliar, but taking care of them. But being around all the girls and the girl vibes, I think I'll be able to be okay.
Right.
And handle all the emotions, but we'll see.
And Nick, how are you feeling about it?
Well, I'm always stressed. Yeah. Period.
Why?
Why?
Are you actually always stressed, or is that like a, is that a joke?
No, I wish. I wish it was a joke. Yeah, I'm a fairly anxious guy. I've gotten better at it. I'm sure most people feel this way. I think you have all these goals when you're a young man and you grow up and you accomplish those goals. And then I don't know if it's because, you know, I have 10 brothers and sisters. I grew up very blue collar, second oldest of 11. We had to make it work. And I think maybe there's instilled like a scarcity mindset. Like it's always like it could always go away. And I think anytime I've always struggled with appreciating and enjoying my successes because I always have this kind of fear of, I think my therapist tells me I have abandonment issues. So yeah, there's that stress. I was just talking to a friend and being a father has been the best stress relief for me. There's obviously the pressure of taking care of your family, but nothing grounds me like my daughter. She does. She will say, it's almost embarrassing. She'll say, Dada, wake up. Because I'm a bit of an aloof guy. I'm in my head. I'm constantly just problem solving whatever I have in my head. And then obviously there's our addiction to phones, which is as bad as anyone, as much as I really try to focus on that. But it's such a, I mean, honestly, it's like an angel coming down, telling me to calm down and wake up. And it's one of those things where it's just as long as I have my family, it's all okay. The things that stress me are not being a dad. And honestly, I think now that the twins are about to show up and they're about to get here, I haven't spent a lot of time stressing about, oh my God, three under three, it's going to be chaotic. Because the parenting part, at least with one, Natalie's first time being pregnant and our first time being parents, I don't know how it was for you guys, but you always meet a lot of people who are like, oh, get ready. It's like the doomsday parents. And we were really resistant to listening to that. And then obviously we were both excited about being parents. And obviously parenting is an incredible challenge and hard to do. That all being said, we just enjoyed being parents. And I think we both kind of had this we get to mindset. Like I get to wake up at 2 a.m. to feed my little baby a bottle. And like that, it was rewarding. And I didn't focus on being tired and stressed. I just really got to focus on that I get to do this and it's a really special thing. And that honestly just calms me. I had a stressful morning. So just thinking about that, just like it, it feels good, but I don't, I'm just rambling. Sorry, I feel like
no. I actually think it's interesting to think of parenting as a stress reliever, because I feel like in this space, I mean, you guys interview so many people. I interview a lot of people that are all under the umbrella of before, during, and after baby. So people are in different phases of parenthood or pregnancy or growing their family or trying to grow their family. But it seems that most of that comes with the stress of parenthood or the stress of raising a family. And obviously, all of us come into it with our own baggage from our childhood or just life in general that can cause triggers in certain moments or cause anxieties. But really looking at your experience coming from such a large family and also just your life in general and your life together and viewing parenthood as a stress reducer is very interesting to me.
Yeah, for me, it's just giving me an incredible sense of purpose. Before I had Natalie in my life and before I had my daughter, when you do have stresses, sometimes you're just like, what's the point of it? Like, what am I doing this for? Vanity, money, whatever. And those are all obviously individual successes, but those come and go. As you get older, you realize that your friends, I think, show up more for your pain than your success, only in the sense that because, you know, you want to be happy for your friends, but there's always that quiet comparison you have with them. It's like, oh, wow, do I have that going on in my life type of thing? But getting married and having a daughter, for me, it's the most incredible North Star. There's always like this purpose of why you're doing it. And to that end, that it has, honestly, it's been a huge stress relief because it, like, if nothing else, I know why I'm doing it. And that for me really helps, that North Star of why I get up. Not that I want to say, oh, this is why I'm stressed and that's a good thing, but it has been very helpful to me.
I think also like realizing just how much kids slow you down and force you to be present and force patience. And just we're up at in northern Wisconsin, like at our lake house right now, and walking around with our daughter River, who's two, and she gets excited over the smallest things, a bird flying by or like this little rock she found, and she thinks it's so cool. And I think when you are a very high stress person, realizing that your two-year-old is finding joy in the most simplest things, I think really brings you back down and really, really keeps you grounded.
How has that, or your stress and ability to find calm in being a parent, how has that translated over into maybe how you're raising your kids or wanting to raise your kids and be present for your kids, not operating at high stress levels, but really being as present as possible for both of you?
I mean, I think she really forces us to. We don't really have a choice. I think I was just explaining, like being Nick having this very stressful morning and then coming outside and River being like, look what I found. And it's a stick with some leaves on it. And she's feeding her little play horse and she thinks it's the coolest thing. And I mean, I think that kind of stuff really just makes you forget and not care about the work stresses or whatever other stresses are going on in your life.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I've always been a big believer as I've gotten older that you can control your thoughts. And I think that's something at an early age that we think is not possible. We feel something, those feelings feel real because they are, they're your feelings, and then they feel valid. You can change what you center your attention and energy on. And having a child is like a cheat code to that moment, like that, as Nally is describing. And sometimes you have to fake it till you make it to get out of your head. You're going through a tough breakup. You're thinking about this person. You try to think about something else. But having a daughter, having those special moments, one, you just have that responsibility to like be present and let that stuff go. And in the moment, it's first, all right, I got to focus on this and I got to let this go. And it's easier said than done. But in 5 or 10 minutes later, you realize that maybe you haven't been thinking about the thing that you were thinking about because you just decided to be present with your kid. And that has been really helpful. And right now, River's only two, so it's not like Nellie's so good about, maybe it's because I'm the guy. I'm excited about teaching her lessons and talking to her about that stuff. And that will come in time. Right now, it's insane how observant she is and how much she picks up. And I think that just reminds us of how important it is for us to show through example, right? Because right now she learns just through observing, not because we're sitting down and teaching her some kind of lesson. And I think that's just really important and just a lesson for us about just showing up and walking the walk and being the people we want our daughter to replicate. For the first time, I've taught my daughter to swear, unfortunately. I was at the airport with my dad. And I called him up and I was like, "Where the F are you?" And I was holding River. And then she got on her fake phone and she started screaming, "F word, F word, F word," in the airport. And I was mortified. But again, she is listening to us. Like we have this little play kitchen that we got her for Christmas up at the lake. We hadn't been up since then. And she was just serving us coffee, making us toast. And we're like, she learned all this just by watching us every day. It kind of blows your mind just how much she pays attention to us, even at such an early age of two. And so it just really reinforces how important it is for us to show up as the people we want her to be.
Yeah, I feel like people find that either to be really exciting or also really stressful, because you can show up and be maybe not the best version of yourself at some point and your kid mirrors that, or you can say a curse word and then they mirror that too. So it really does cause you to take a step back and really evaluate how you are entering a room that has your children present in it. I also feel like becoming parents, this happened with my husband and I, it's like you also, as I said, you learn so much about how you were raised and maybe things you want to do differently. Or my husband's similar to you in the sense that he's really excited to teach them lessons. And now that my girls are getting a little bit older, he loves to be able to take them on daddy-daughter dates and teach them things, or like go to like a putt-putt place and just play with golf. Like it's a sweet thing to watch. And then also for him to be able to step into this time of, okay, the baby, like the infant phase, they really need mom so much. And then as they get older, you can step into things that maybe dads are excited to be doing. But is there anything that's come up between, since your 2 years of being parents, that you guys have found surprising about reflecting on how you guys were raised or your relationship changing?
I definitely think now that River's two and she eats what we eat and all that kind of stuff, it makes you think back of, I have so many vivid memories of not being able to leave the kitchen table until I finished my peas or finished whatever it was. And I remember sitting sobbing and just being like, please, I don't want to eat these. And my dad just saying, sorry, you got to. We're going to go watch a movie. Let me know when you're done. And I just remember just sitting for like hours crying and crying and crying. And so I think with entering that stage with River, it's never that serious. And I've just always found that if she's hungry, she's going to eat. And if she's not hungry, she's not going to eat. And she'll wake up the next morning and eat a big breakfast and everything will be okay. Just to not take it all so seriously, because I think that added so much trauma to my life and I want to be so far from that. So it's definitely something I've worked on.
I don't know if there's anything like from my childhood I'm very grateful for the childhood I had and the parents. I think it's more just, I don't know if this answers your question, but I was thinking what I appreciate about how we've become parents together as husband and wife is that we're both doing our best. We enjoy being parents. And like, I know that Nellie cares about being a great mom. And I feel like Nellie knows that I really care about being a great dad. And we don't sit there and each night comparing notes, and we don't sit there and be like, oh, how are we going to teach our daughter this or that? But listen, sometimes I'll have an idea and I'll say something and Nellie'll be like, are you sure? Do you realize what you're saying? And then sometimes Nellie, opposite, and I'll be like, huh? And we're both just willing to listen to each other. And we're not like, it has to be this way. Honestly, Nellie, what was the thing that made you something about, why she saw an interview about what's the secret to a happy marriage or something. And Nellie asked me what she thinks has been our secret so far, early in our marriage and in our relationship. We do everything together. But we share the responsibility of our lives together. Like, we share the responsibility of being a married couple. We share the responsibility of being parents. And so we're just mutually invested in everything we do. And that's just something I really appreciate. And my parents always were a team. There's nothing that would get us in trouble as kids than to hear, hey, no, you can't do that from dad, but then try to go to mom behind dad's back. And like, they always presented as a united front and told us as much. And I always really respected that about my parents. And I'm just grateful that we have that as well. And it's not something that we were intentional about in like, we have to do this. It was just something we just started doing. And it's something I just really appreciate.
Are there certain things or rituals or just practices that you guys have, because you work together, as you said, you do everything together, to stay connected and not let your relationship fall by the wayside?
I definitely think our biggest thing is going to bed at the same time. There's definitely been a few nights where I'm tired, I go to bed early, he stays up and does whatever, and I just wake up with this disconnected feeling. And so I think us going to bed at the same time every single night, whether we're putting on a movie, putting on a TV show, or just going to bed, I think it does keep us very connected. And we both feel it when we don't have that. My parents divorced when I was young, but I remember my dad would sleep on the couch most nights or fall asleep watching TV on the couch, or, you know, and it just, like, you could just feel the disconnection in the room as soon as you walked in. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, I listen to Natalie because she is... Again, I'm always, you know, I'm in my head a lot and I'm always thinking about all the million problems I feel like I have to solve. And I'm good at big picture stuff and she's really good at like the data, like the small things. And so she's usually quick to remind me to slow down or remind, you know, we have to do this, we should do that. And I guess I'm just glad that I'm always willing to say yes. And I think every couple can nag at each other, but like Natalie will send me a lot of videos about being off your phone. And
look how interesting this is.
Like an Instagram video, like a parenting video.
Yeah. It's like how you're screwing up your child's life
by
being on your phone. And sure, it can get a little, because listen, nowadays our phones are our work and we have these weird jobs of working in pop culture and sometimes work is honestly doom scrolling, which is crazy to say, but there's some truth to it. And I think sometimes when Natalie will remind me or I'll get that video, it can feel like nagging. But I always am just like, I know my wife and why she's sending it. It's always with the best intention. So I receive it for the most part, knowing that it's coming with love. And it's coming because she's not trying to nag me. She's trying to help me. And I think it's important to keep that frame of mind. Now, I think in some relationships, there is a lot of nagging. And if you're going to critique your partner, you do have to remind them that they're doing a good job from time to time. And you do have to celebrate their successes. Because that way, the criticism, it feels like it's coming from a good place. And I think that has been really helpful to me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Is there anything surprising that you guys have seen or witnessed with each other or just in your relationship or even your work life since becoming parents that's kind of caught you guys off guard or pleasantly caught you off guard?
Well, I guess I would just say Natalie's younger than me.
How far apart are you guys in age?
18 years.
18 years.
Yeah.
18 years. Great. My husband and I are 10 and a half years, so.
All right. Well, we're among friends.
Safe space.
Safe space. And Natalie's, she's such a good mom. And I think she's just so good at I think I'm a great dad. I care about being a great dad. It matters to me. But my God, there's a million little things that she thinks about that if I would be like, oh my God, thank God I have her around to do that. Just little things that River, she's just always thinking in a way. And I guess, I don't know, you don't know that until you have a kid together. You don't know what to expect, how your partner is going to show up as a parent. And I am just, I see all the million little things she does for our daughter that like, I just, my brain doesn't work that way.
The other day I was like, could you imagine if I was in charge of her entertainment, her toys? Like if I had to choose what it was that she independently played with, could you just imagine what that would look like? And I'm like, it probably wouldn't be very fun.
And I guess I just felt so lucky to be like, wow, I was just like, I'm just so glad that you are the way you are, because it's just, I think we really balance each other out. We do a lot of things together. And like, for example, I will never do laundry and Natalie will never wash a dish in the sink. I will never empty a dishwasher. But like, it was for some way, there's things that she's allergic to doing that I'll do. There's things that I'm allergic to doing that she'll do. And there's a million things we do together. And the things that we've been like, all right, you do that, and I'll do this. And it seems to work out. So it's been a pleasant surprise that way.
It also seems like you guys have a pretty good understanding of ways to show appreciation. I feel like in parenting, if someone were to receive a video on Instagram sometime, which by the way, I send them to my husband all the time, like the either the phone things or just other videos that just pop up that are parenting videos that I'm like, oh, this is an interesting, you know, but some people can interpret that as being critical or attacking, but it seems like you guys have a really great ability to appreciate one another and the roles that you're coming into the relationship being in, and also the overall desire to both show up and be great parents and show up as a team. So that seems like, I mean, I don't know if it's therapy or just overall communication that you guys are able to find that as being a common ground, because that doesn't exist in a lot of relationships and causes like tension.
Yeah, well, we are pro-therapy and we do it both as individuals and as a couple. And that's obviously helpful, but I guess it's just more of a shared goal. I think being a good parent matters to both of us. And then
I think also knowing that it is, like Nick was saying, coming from a good place. It's not coming from me trying to be bitchy and say like, well, look at what this 80-year-old man said on this podcast. He must know everything and you're not listening to him. It's coming from just being like, oh, I thought this was interesting. What do you think about it? Maybe we add it into our routine.
Yeah, it's a gentle reminder, not a lecture, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, high five to therapy, because it really allows you guys both to do your own work and then also to come together and work on your guys' relationship. And we're totally like the same. Like my husband and I are definitely aligned with doing your own work and then also work on your relationship, because it is obviously like the most important thing. I know we're going to wrap up, but since you guys have been so open just about parenting in this interview, but also just on your guys' podcast and also getting to be parents, your fertility journey, just open about everything that falls under the umbrella of parenthood, fatherhood, motherhood. What's the biggest response or just feeling that you've gotten from your community when sharing this specific topic? Because it's not that you're talking about just pop culture things like you were talking about, or just gossip or drama. You're really talking about something that's incredibly meaningful to both of you and to people who are curious about how to be a better father, how to be a better mother, how to stay teammates in a relationship and entering into the parenthood journey in general. What's that been like for you guys to be so open in your own journey and also to have the community that you guys have built be a part of that?
Difficult, to be honest. I don't know how it's been for you, in the sense that like parenting is a very sensitive subject and there's no perfect way to do it. And there's just a lot of opinions. And obviously, most of us, I think, want to be great parents, and sometimes we don't always show up as our best. And I think sometimes sometimes when speaking about it, sometimes it's kind of hard to land that plane with the way that you meant it, because you don't know how people are going to receive it. And so when you're talking about a topic like parenting that feels so precious and innocent, you just have to be careful about your delivery, I have found. And sometimes it can get exhausting, because it's you're sharing a personal experience, and sometimes you want to do it with some humor, or sometimes you want to do it with some vulnerability. And so it's been a challenge. When we talked about the miscarriages that Natalie experienced, I was pleasantly surprised with, Natalie, when it first happened, doing what we do, she was like, I think I want to talk about it. And we decided to just kind of go in the studio by ourselves and record an episode and just kind of really, really be vulnerable. And I was really worried about releasing that episode. And I just trusted Natalie, and I was really glad that we did. And it was a pleasant surprise. And I tried to stay offline.
A pleasant surprise based on the reaction or the response? Is that?
Yeah. It felt like a safe space. And obviously I think we're so grateful we talked about it, because it's something I've learned just as a man. Obviously, women, what Natalie experienced is different than what I experienced. It's when you find out your wife's pregnant, there's that excitement, there's that joy. It's maybe a bad comparison, I don't know. But I don't know, like for your husband, I'm sure if he books a big role, there's like an excitement. And then there's like maybe 4 months before he films it, right? There's an excitement of the announcement. And then there's this kind of like, well, we don't start for a while. And when I was picked to be the bachelor, it was like, oh, it was this great moment. And then nothing really happens. You kind of go back to your normal life. And I think as a dad, you find out your wife's having a baby and there's this huge excitement, but nothing in that moment changes. Obviously for Natalie, you see that connection with her child immediately. It's inside her. It's a part of her. But that being said, when you, prior to that experience of ourselves, a friend tells you that a miscarriage, and there's always like, I'm sorry. And you know you're supposed to be empathetic, but it was like, you know, it's not the same as someone says, I lost my child. And then you experience that and you watch your wife truly feel that pain and suffer. And I just had so much more empathy for, you know, I felt guilt. I felt guilt for all the times my friends and family members might have mentioned that they had a miscarriage. And I just felt like I didn't show up the way I should have showed up, because I just didn't connect with that experience. And I think releasing that episode and talking about it, it felt like we connected with a community that's always felt a little bit underrepresented, because you find out you're pregnant and the doctor's like, well, don't tell anyone right away because it might not happen. And then they say that because you don't want to tell a bunch of friends that you're pregnant, only have to tell them that you're not pregnant anymore. But within that advice, you're almost told not to talk about it, right? You're not to share that experience, that loss. And I was so grateful that we shared it, because even to this day, we still have people who come up and talk about that. And especially for women, and I watched my wife experience these miscarriages, there's just a lot of women who I feel like have experienced this tremendous loss without a community to really speak on it. And that was a huge lesson for me. And I was grateful to be able to do that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it comes with obviously so much shame as well. Women feeling like, oh, my body didn't do something that it's supposed to do. And it's also coming out of a time where women never talked about having miscarriages. It wasn't something that you could talk about. You guys sharing something that's also an uncomfortable and vulnerable topic allows people to, of course, feel seen and less alone in their journey. And how was it for you, Natalie, to like be that vulnerable?
That was definitely the hope. I mean, I remember sitting in after we had lost our first baby, and I had called my sister, who had really struggled to get pregnant and keep pregnancies, and she ended up having 12 miscarriages. And I remember I was on the phone with her, and she was like, it's the most alone feeling you'll ever feel. And I was like, you are so right. I do. I feel so alone in my own body. I don't feel like myself. I obviously feel like there's something incredibly wrong with me, like it was my fault. I did something. And then I just remember being like, what do I do next? Who can I talk to about this? Who feels this way? And I couldn't find anything, really. There just wasn't anything that felt how I was feeling in that moment. And so it was just important for us to do it. And we recorded it, just the two of us. And I think we even waited a moment to put it out. But I was like, I just want to be in this moment. And I want to capture this moment, because this is what the feeling is. And I don't want to try to remember all the details or remember what it felt like. I just want to be in it. And when I had our second and our third miscarriage, I went back and I listened to that episode. And I felt myself, who felt that same alone feeling, sitting with my other self and not feeling alone. And so it felt really good for me to be able to put that out. And yeah, just let women know that unfortunately it does happen to so many of us. And if you just talk about it, you won't feel so alone. And so that was really just the encouragement behind it. But it was tough.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be. It's definitely like a choice to do that, and having the desire to also allow other people to feel helped by you being vulnerable is a gift that you give to if it's one person, and if it's thousands or millions of people, it's a gift. Do you feel that same level of support from your community that you felt sharing that as you have being open about parenthood, or is parenthood more of like a critical?
I think with parenthood, there's just so many people sharing what works for them and what they think is the right way to do it, that it's just such a hard subject to really even talk about. We share how we put River to sleep in her own bed, and every single night she wakes up and she comes into our bed. And then you have people who find problems with that. And so I think it's just that space is so different because everyone has so many different takes on it. And everyone feels like what they're doing is what's right for them, which I'm sure it is. But with the miscarriages, it was just, we just all feel the same. Like, that's just the same feeling that we all feel who go through this. And I think that's why it felt so safe.
Yeah, because I think, you know, I mean, again, kind of going back to what we're talking about, when Natalie's sending me those videos, I know my wife has the best intentions and it comes from a place of love. And I think when you are speaking broadly to an audience, even say, hey, this works for us, and if you want to try it, and if someone's listening and not doing that, you don't know how they are going to receive it. And then it feels almost triggering because we're always very protective of how we show up as parents. And even when we're not showing up as parents, sometimes, you know, when you get called out for things that you know deep down are true, it gets a little triggering and you might react. And I think sometimes to that end, we have a large audience, we're grateful for it. But sometimes you say something and you put it out to the world and you just don't know how people are going to receive it, what mood they are when they receive it. And I think that, yeah, it is a challenge because you want to talk about the thing that brings you so much joy, and you want to be helpful if it is helpful to people to hear whatever works for you. That's not always easy to do. And that sometimes can feel discouraging. But I know where it comes from because I think everyone's just very protective of how they show up as parents. So it's been something, honestly, that we've honestly struggled with how to do it, because I think I'm glad people think we do share a lot. And there are things I would love to tell more stories about parenting, but sometimes we get a little nervous sometimes because it doesn't always land the way we hoped. And I think that's part of the reason why.
Yeah, it's a tricky subject because people are fired up about parenting. It's like you could use the wrong pouch or the wrong spoon or the wrong stroller or carry your car seat the wrong. It's like put a bib on backwards and the most
you ruined your child.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. Your child is just doomed forever. But yeah, I mean, I think that you guys do such a great job being open about so much that allows people to feel seen. And I'm grateful that you guys took the time, even in your chaotic morning, Nick, that you showed up for this.
You know, this has been the best part of my day. So thank you.
thank you guys so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
This is great. Thank you.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.